Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
Many people maintain their cognitive function with aging, but the research that I've done suggests that there is more generalization of function. So in the sense that, you know, the same, like I said earlier, like different tasks will engage very similar networks. Now, within that milieu, you could see that there might be some flexibility to switch and draw on different cognitive processes to attack different tasks. But when there is a requirement to make a drastic switch and to really change systems, then you do see a bit of an age-related hitch. So there is this task-related switching effect, and there are some executive functions that do tend to decline, but again, on average. So I think, you know, there is a lot of individual differences, but in general, I think there is some flexibility, but flexibility tends to decline with aging. But we become more efficient in processing things that we have experiences with. And so this comes to emotional regulation and empathy that was already talked about. We really do improve these abilities because we've had a lot of experiences in similar situations, and we could build off those models to act in the current environment.
Daniel, follow up on that if you would. As you get older, easier or harder to regulate your emotions?
Tricky to make broad generalizations. Some older adults have great difficulty regulating their emotions, but on average, most older adults are better at regulating their emotions. Part of that is that they experience increases in empathy, tolerance, and a sort of the dulce vita kind of an attitude that, boy, things are pretty good. I'm happy I'm alive.
Sustainability in fashion has like a long list of definitions, and it could mean that from a social perspective, that the workers were paid a living wage or a fair wage to make the garments. It could mean that the clothing was made in more environmentally ways, such as, you know, not using fossil fuels to produce the clothes or not using fossil fuels themselves in the clothing, which is, you know, 67% of our clothes are synthetic, which is our plastics. Mm-hmm. Looking at things like reducing the amount of water or the water pollution, less chemicals. So really clothing that is made with people and planet in mind.
So there's a superficial definition, and then there's a really deep dive definition on this. Yeah. And I guess one of the things we want to figure out is how much of this is really going on and how much of it is sort of advertised as going on, but really isn't. Mm-hmm. Am I right, Jacqueline, in saying that maybe 10 years ago, people were more interested in getting something that was fashionable and they didn't think too much about the sustainability of it, but they do think more about the sustainability of it today?
Absolutely. I feel like people are definitely considering it more. There's actually this concept called the say-do gap. So about 80% of consumers say that they want and prioritize more sustainable purchasing behavior and where we shop, but about only 10% actually do. And there's a list of barriers there that we could talk all day about as well. But I think the concept of sustainability used to be just for a certain group of people, and it's become a lot more mainstream, which is really exciting to see, but it's also added a lot of confusion for people on understanding where to shop and how to understand what are the best brands to buy from.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.